Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Scrappy, hungry, and I'm not going away. 10:36, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. And we continue now with our Week in Theater segment. Every week, talking about what's going on in the great Chicago theater scene. But this week, I thought we would focus on some of the things going on Broadway right now. And as you probably heard me report earlier this week, if you are a fan of Hamilton, there was great news that came from the new online TV platform, Disney Plus. They are going to be showing the original cast of Hamilton the musical beginning on July the 3rd. This was originally supposed to be released in theaters on big screen. They filmed several performances back when Lin-Manuel Miranda was still the lead in the show, and David Diggs was in the show, and Leslie Odom, and so many of the others that went on to win Tony Awards for their performances. So the original cast of Hamilton, all part of this presentation, which will be on Disney Plus, as I said, on July the 3rd. So we're looking forward to that. That's just one of the many things going on the New York theater scene. And we love checking in with Michael Riedel, who is the theater critic for the New York Post, but also the co-host of the Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the Morning Show on 710 WOR Radio in New York. Michael, good morning and welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dean, always always a pleasure to be with you. I know you guys are, the theater scene is shut down in Chicago. I talked to my friend Chris Jones, the theater critic for the Tribune, regularly, and he's not quite sure when you guys are opening up again there.
Yeah, same. It's even maybe even more indecisive than it is on Broadway. At least they're saying possibly September for a reopening on Broadway right now, but we just have no idea when we're going to be able to get back into the theaters. And when they do reopen the theaters, what will it be like? What's the experience going to be like? Will you be sitting in crowded theaters? Will you be going to a lot of these smaller storefront theaters where people are sort of on top of each other?
I think that's a big question for theaters all over the country. But I think New York is being very optimistic about opening in Labor Day. The fact of the matter is, and I speak to a lot of Broadway producers regularly, and you're going to be seeing a lot of shows that were supposed to be opening this spring, and some shows in the fall. They're going to announce that they're not going to open till the spring of 2021. And there are a lot of people on Broadway who don't think the theaters are going to be up and running until at least a year from now, because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen if this pandemic comes back in the fall, which could knock everything out again. And as you say, they haven't quite figured out how do you do social distancing in the theaters. I mean, you know, the economics are such that if you have people sitting every three seats from each other, well, you're not going to be able to make the money to pay the stagehands and the actors and make your overhead. So that would require total renegotiating the entire financial structure of Broadway if social distancing is going to take root in the theater.
Yeah, and that's if people are even going to go back. I have to say, I mean, I make my living watching plays, watching movies, being in these crowded theaters all the time. I'm not so sure how comfortable I feel, sitting in theaters when things reopen again. How do you feel about that? You're in theaters all the time, too.
Yeah, I would be wary right now, of course. I do think when Broadway's up and running, I'd like to, you know, be there to see it come back and to pick a couple of my favorite shows to see them. But, you know, will I be wearing a mask? I mean, the other thing is the actors will not go to work until they feel completely safe, because they're not going to be able to perform wearing masks. And, you know, you have a love scene with somebody, and, you know, actors, when they emote, sometimes all that spittle flies every which way.
Right.
My actor friends say they won't feel comfortable going back until everybody walks to the stage door and gets a test to make sure that they don't have anything. They don't have a fever or they don't have the coronavirus. You can't force them to go to work if they don't feel sick. Same with the musicians. I mean, you've been down in orchestra pits. The musicians are on top of each other.
Sure. Well, you know, we had our Ravinia Festival here, big outdoor music festival here in Chicago, decide to cancel its entire 2020 season, even though it's an outdoor venue and it would be for the audience members, you could easily spread out on this lawn. You wouldn't be able to sit on blankets together, but you could spread out on lawns. But as the festival, you know, spoke to us about, how do you get the Chicago Symphony Orchestra that requires that you all be close together and you all be in fairly close proximity to the conductor? How do you get musical groups and performers to get on the stages and perform? It's exactly the same thing with live theater. Even if they do this the way they're planning on doing some sporting events without people in the stands, if they put on plays and you could only watch them online, the performers still need to be in a very close proximity to one another while they are performing, unless they're wearing masks, which, you know, probably is not going to work out that well.
No, I mean, I don't think Romeo and Juliet would be that effective if they were both in masks the whole time. So, but yeah, I know it's a big hit for the industry. You know, Broadway has become a $2 billion a year industry. And you already see some shows throwing in the towel. I mean, you probably heard the news that Frozen, a $34 million show from Disney, it's not going to reopen. Now, to be honest with you, that show was never the hit that a Lion King or Aladdin is. And I think Disney was struggling with it to begin with. And this is just one more reason for them to fold it up. But I'm afraid the longer this goes on, you're going to see some other shows, some long-running popular shows thinking, well, how do we go back? I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber, I've spoken to him a number of times, and he vows to reopen The Phantom. And he can. He and Cameron McIntosh, the producer of All the Money in the World. And if they want to reopen it and go out on their own terms, that's fine. But The Phantom is now in its 32nd year on Broadway. Its audience is mainly tourists from all over the world. And the question is, New York having had the most deaths and the most cases of COVID, how long before tourists are going to feel comfortable coming to New York? And I don't care how much money you have. If the tourists don't come to New York, then there's not going to be an audience for the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, how eerie is that? I don't know if you've been out, if you've gone into, you know, Times Square in the Broadway area, or if you've really remained shuttered. But when I see pictures of Times Square looking like a ghost town, it's so eerie to me. I can only imagine somebody who, you know, lives and works there having to experience that in person.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I ride my bike around town just to get exercise. And so I often sail through Times Square. And I mean, I can go through Times Square and ride in the middle of the road because there are no cars and there are no people. And it is kind of sad to, especially if you're running in the as the sun's going down. I will say this about the theater owners. They do still light the lights in Broadway. They turn the lights on at night. But there are no crowds. And then I think of all the great restaurants, you know, Joe Allen, Orso, Bar Centrale, Bond 45, all these restaurants, they won't have any customers until Broadway comes back. Even if you can open restaurants, Times Square is just not a place that's going to attract a lot of people without anything to do. And the big thing to do in Times Square is to see a Broadway show.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, you know, our restaurants here, the ones that are barely scratching by, are doing it with carry out and curbside pickup. And that's not really that much of an option on Broadway, as you say, because that's an area where people go to see theater. The main drawing point isn't there anymore.
No. I mean, it's funny. I think actually the restaurants, I live in the West Village, and as the weather's gotten nice, most of the restaurants are now open up and they're doing curbside takeout or serving drinks outside. And it was jam-packed in my neighborhood yesterday. I guarantee you it was desolate on Broadway. There's no reason for people to go there when there's nothing to do. Times Square, you know, it's not like Central Park, which is pretty to walk around in. You know, you want the energy, the buzz, the excitement, the theater of Times Square. Without that, it's just going to be one of the emptier neighborhoods of Broadway. I mean, it's amazing. Once one of the busiest neighborhoods in the world is now one of the most desolate.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking when I see you know, footage of what it's like in one of my favorite cities in the world. I love being in New York, and when I see the way that it is right now, it's just nothing but heartbreaking. Let me take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about how Broadway has responded to all this and sure. The many performers who are doing amazing online performances. Michael Riedel is with us from the New York Post, from the Lynn Berman and Michael Riedel show in the morning. on 710 WOR Radio. How do you like being a radio host, Michael? You've come over to the dark side with me here.
I have. I really enjoy it, although I must say I find the hours a little tricky. We're on every morning from 6 to 10 a.m., and I don't know if you've ever done a morning show that early, but it means you got to get up at 4:30 when I had to go to the studio. Now we're working from our homes with our little, you know, light bright boxes we have, so I can get an extra hour of sleep. But you really gotta discipline yourself if you're the early morning radio host.
Yeah, I've done mornings for most of my radio career, and now just to make it even more daunting, I also do morning television on WGN Television in Chicago. That's sort of my main job now, is doing entertainment on the WGN TV morning news. So not only do I have to not get up, that I do get up at that ungodly hour, but I actually have to look somewhat presentable also.
The great thing about radio is you don't have to do hair and makeup, which adds like an extra half hour to the time you got to be around,
right,
around the studio.
It's very, very true. Even for those of us who have no hair, it's daunting just the same. It is 10:50. This is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. By the way, later on this week, on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be filling in for Bob Surratt all morning long, Thursday and Friday on WGN Radio. So you'll be able to, if you enjoy our Sunday show, think you'll enjoy when I fill in on the radio for Bob Surratt Thursday and Friday mornings here on WGN. Michael Riedel is our guest, who is the longtime theater critic for the New York Post and now co-host of the Len Berman Michael Riedel Show on WOR Radio in New York. The performances that we've been seeing from Broadway performers, Michael, I think have been inspiring. Some of them are just so great. And it all sort of started off, didn't it, with Lin-Manuel Miranda just hopping on. And it was, I think, Andrew Lloyd Webber's birthday, I think it was, where he...
I was just going to say, it was actually Andrew Lloyd Webber who started the whole thing, because Andrew is quarantined at his country house, Sidmonton, and his daughter, Bella, who works in social media company. She said, you know, Dad, you got to do something here. You're just driving us crazy. And she said, I'm going to start making some videos of you at the piano, and I'm just going to post them on your official website and your official Twitter account. So he would sit at the piano and kind of fool around, making jokes and playing a little bit from Cats. And then he started taking requests, and suddenly he was getting over a million people watching him. And that's when, Lin-Manuel Miranda decided to jump on during his birthday. And since then, a lot of Broadway people are singing, and they get together and they do Zoom chats and they do concerts. They're trying to raise money for first responders. And also they're raising money for the Actors Fund and Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, because we all know the celebrities, and, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Patti LuPone can weather this storm. But there are a lot of people, Dean, as you know, who work in the theater who are not highly paid. There are the ushers and the porters and the people who, you know, work behind the scenes in the prop department and the wig department. You know, and those people are working class people here in New York, and they have no income. So the big actors are trying to raise money to help get those people through this difficult time.
Yeah, it's been amazing watching these performers, and you really get a sense of the raw talent of some of these performers also when they're in their living rooms and, you know, just singing along on a piano or something very stark without all the bells and whistles. And, you know, some of them can move you to tears with some of the performances that they've been doing, and some of them go ahead.
I was going to say a great thing. My old pal Brian Stokes Mitchell starred on Broadway in Ragtime and Kids Decade, a wonderful actor. He actually had the virus and was very, very sick, and then he got better. And one day at 7 o'clock here, I'm sure you guys do in Chicago, 7 o'clock, everybody applauds all the first responders and hollers it up here. So Brian decided he would sing. So he opened the window on his Upper West Side apartment one night at 7, and he sang The Impossible Dream from the Don Quixote musical there, The Man of La Mancha, that he was in a revival of. And then he started doing it every night, and he was doing it for a week, and people loved it. And then the police kind of went to him and very politely said, you know, we're a little concerned. So many people are gathering outside your window when you sing that they're not practicing social distancing and they're in the middle of the road. So they said, you know, if you wouldn't mind knocking it off for a little bit. But he did that for a week and people loved it. It was very moving.
Yeah, we've had similar kinds of things, not to that degree, but these mass sing-alongs that are going on at exactly the same time that have been coordinated with some radio stations. I've enjoyed the cast of Jersey Boy. They did an amazing one. Just the other day, I think I saw one from the cast, the current and past casts of Hairspray that did an amazing one. What have been some of your favorites?
I liked, they did a Seth Rudetsky, who is a kind of a big Broadway personality here. He organized a fun Mother's Day tribute with a lot of people singing special songs that meant something for their mother. And he does a regular bit each week where he picks a theme and then gets his friends like Patti LuPone or Brian Stokes Mitchell, and they sing a song that's related to the theme. So I think that's kind of a clever way of doing it. And I look, you know what I do? I tell you, one of the best things to do when I miss the theater and I have some, well, I have plenty of time to kill. I go back on YouTube. You can find some of the old Tony Awards and you can look at some of the great moments from the Tony Awards, like Jennifer Holliday singing "And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going" for Dreamgirls in 1981, or Michael Jeter dancing in Grand Hotel, "We'll Take a Glass Together," or the great Dorothy Loudon from Chicago, by the way, the great Dorothy Loudon doing "Easy Street" and "Annie." And they're all available on YouTube, and they're so much fun to go back and watch.
Yeah, when you need a fix of that, you need a fix of that. And fortunately, it's pretty much all available, which takes us back to this Hamilton performance that's going to be on. I was talking earlier last week with David Diggs. He's got a television series, Snowpiercer, that's on TNT right now. But we were talking about this and the power of Hamilton, that people are so excited that they're going to be able to see this original Broadway cast. What is it, do you think, about Hamilton, that after all this time, people are still so excited about being able to see the original cast from this?
Well, it's funny. Hamilton was one of those shows that just you know, it's on Broadway, it's in New York, it's local, but it captured the cultural imagination of the country with, you know, quite a bit of help from Michelle and Barack Obama, who loved it and talked about it a lot and had the cast down to the White House a couple of times. So it really became as popular as any movie or popular TV show out there. But you have to remember, you know, even though it's been running a few years now, it's still in a theater that seats 1,500 people. So there are millions of people out there who have yet to see Hamilton and who would never have been able to see the original cast. And as you know, Dean, covering the theater for as long as you have, there's nothing like the original cast. You can have great replacements and great second cast, but there's nothing like seeing Broadway show, first time it opens, with that original cast. And they generally only stay in these shows for about a year, and then they go off and they do other things. So there are many, many people out there who never had the chance, that also might not have been able to afford it, of seeing Hamilton on Broadway with the tickets at one point were going for $2,500. So yeah. There's still a huge audience for these shows out there, and one way for people to see them is to now see them when they put them on these streaming services.
Yeah, not quite the same as seeing it live and in person, but you know, still, what an opportunity to see this Pulitzer, Tony Award-winning, Grammy Award-winning cast, you know, doing the show. Have you had an opportunity to see Miguel Cervantes, who I think maybe like for a week took over the lead role in Hamilton after starring in it here in Chicago for like 5-6 years, something like that, before the shutdown?
I know. Unfortunately, I did not. But I'm gonna make you totally green with envy when I leave you with this final thought. So I happen to live across the street from Hugh Jackman, right? And Hugh was going to open in The Music Man on Broadway in the fall. It was going to be a big event, $40 million advance, and we don't know what's going to happen with it. But I had Hugh on my radio show, and he was telling me, if you go out and, you know, you can see into his window, he lives in one of these fancy glass buildings. If you look around 10 o'clock, you'll see me rehearsing dances from The Music Man. So sure enough, I sometimes pop out at 10 o'clock, and there he is singing and dancing. He opens the window and waves to me and gives me a little Harold Hill, a little 76 trombone. So I get my own little personal viewing of Hugh Jackman in The Music Man whenever I want to.
Wow. All I get to see out of my window is the guy next door having a couple of beers in the backyard. Not exactly the same thing.
Not quite.
Very. Oh, that's very, very cool. Well, when you the next time you see Hugh, tell him the Dean from Chicago says hello. We've had many great conversations with him. And
he's terrific.
We love him. It's great to talk to you, Michael. Thank you for spending a little time with us. You can read him at NewYorkPost.com. And if you're in the New York area, 710 WOR, the Len Berman, Michael Riedel Morning Show. And I know they also have some podcasts up on the WOR website as well. Michael, thank you for joining us. Have a great Sunday today.
Thanks. You take care, Dean. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.